If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Are you a preacher or someone who desires to preach the Word of God? Join us for the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Preaching Workshop 2015. This workshop is designed to equip preachers to deliver the Word of God with substance, effectiveness, and relatability. This two-day workshop will be held Friday, July 17th, and Saturday, July 18th. Registration has begun, so be sure to sign up soon. Call 215-885-2585 to register. That's 215-885-2585. Or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
It's 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, how do you try them? Okay, the Bible is literally saying test every spirit. So how do you test it? Well, it doesn't tell you how to test it. It just tells you to test it. But knowing the consistency of God, knowing that he does everything in practicality and decency and in order, the only way to try anything is by what's written. If a police officer arrests you and tells you, you better talk to me, you better confess, you say, I've got a document that says I have a right to be silent, and you can't make me talk. And so when you get that understanding, it solidifies your purpose. When you have an understanding, you begin to realize that my purpose in life is guarded by a document. Everything in your life is by a document. Even your employment is by a document. You sign a paper saying, I'm going to give you 40 hours a week, 80 hours a week per pay period, and you agree to pay me X number of dollars. And so anytime the person doesn't pay what they promised, you now have the basis for a lawsuit. So the Bible is a contract between God and you. Watch this. Now, a contract only exists when there are two parties who enter into an agreement together. That means if I enter into an agreement with Pastor Aaron and I sell him a car, and we draw up papers, and my part says, I'm going to sell you this car. It has 35,000 miles on it, and it's never been hit before, and I'm going to sell it to you for $5,000. All right, we sign it. His part is he's going to pay me $5,000, providing that all of my parts are correct. Well, he gets the car and find out that I've turned back the odometer, and then he does a car search, and he finds out that it's been in the shop 22 times for being hit. Well, he has the basis now to sue me because I entered into the contract fraudulently. But when it comes to God and his word, the contract has nothing to do with you. All right, 7:30. God made a covenant. And whatever's in this book is guaranteed. Check it out. Even if you don't believe it. Listen carefully. He shall give his angels charge over thee. They will keep you in all of your ways, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. You might not believe it, but that does not weaken God's response. Why? Because the contract between you and God is not between you and God. It's between God and God and then you. So when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. In other words, he says, I know that at some point in your life, you are going to say and or do something that violates my contract. I am not going to punish you. For where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. And so when your sinful action requires that I kill you, I am going to look at the covenant that I made, and I am going to convict you and drive you back to the cross. Watch, watch, watch. Listen carefully. The greatest aspect of faith is not you believing what God will do, but believing who God is. Not what he will do, because he may not do what you want him to do. But he is who he said he is. Well, in the words of our people, I be who I is. And so what is it that Hebrews 11:6 is saying? It's telling me that I should believe that God is. And what is God? Love. Mercy. Grace. Oh, Lord, we could go on forever. Now, what the devil does is tries to lie to you. So John says, don't believe every spirit, but try it by the word of God. See if what you hear lines up with this. That means, listen carefully, if in your spiritual mind you're hearing so-and-so doesn't like you, so-and-so is resentful of you, God wouldn't tell you that. You know why? Because it would build hard feelings. God knows your flesh couldn't handle knowing that somebody doesn't like you. Because you're going to turn up your nose. What's wrong with you? Why you treat me like this? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And in your heart, you're justifying it by saying, because God told me you don't like me. God said he's not the author of confusion. So why would he come tell you who don't like? Do you know the Holy Spirit don't have that much time to tell me who don't like me? He leaves it up to me and my street sense. Here's my rule. The law says that 2 square feet of space is yours. So stand in one place, measure out 2 feet from the middle of your foot, your footsteps there. Measure out 2 feet each way. That 2 square feet is yours. That's your legal killing zone. At that point, no, seriously, at that point, you can do what you have to do to defend yourself. But if somebody's all the way back there saying, I'm going to cut you, I can't take them out because they're too far away to do it. So if I put a cap in them, the law will say that's manslaughter because they were too far away, especially if they say, I'm going to cut you. They got to be close to cut me. I'm not going to draw down and pop. You can't shoot me because I was fearing for my life. They're 40 feet away from you. So here's my philosophy. God, anyone in my 2 square feet, you letting me handle it. If they're outside, they're yours. Because he won't put more on me than I can bear. Are you following me? Why? Because God won't allow you to be pulled where his grace can't keep you. Hear me, brother. God is not going to tell you to go work at somebody's house knowing that that woman's going to come down the steps in hot pants, no bra, and a thong. He ain't going to tell you to take that job because he knows that his grace can't keep you. And you can't go in there and look at her and say, the devil is a lie. The devil was a lie before you got in there. God will tell you, don't go. And then you're like, I need that money. God is not going to lead you where his grace can't keep you. God is not going to let you have a friend who turns you on. Come on, this is just my friend. And you squeezing your legs together every time you see him. That's not God. Talking about we just going someplace to talk, and you sitting down at La Familia over candles, drinking Chardonnay, talking about church. I don't think so. That's not God. So what does John say? Try these spirits. How? By the word of God. Proverbs said a man can't walk on coals and not be burned. Neither can he take hot coals to his bosom and not be on fire. In other words, don't be around people that turn you on. There are some that do nothing for you, thank God. But then there are others that you have to plead the blood. I know a pastor, very good, godly man of God. He said to me, he said, Bishop, he said, what do I do? I said, what's wrong? He said, I got an usher who is just fine. And she liked to bring me my tea in my office. I said, fire her. He told her the next week, you can't do this anymore. He didn't say why. He just said, I'd rather have somebody else do it. Amen. She was a little disappointed, but he did it. Amen. God ain't going to send him nobody in there that was poured into that usher suit. She was born with that thing on. It just grew. It grew with her. And she didn't say like our ushers, here y'all. She didn't say that. She's like, Pastor, good morning. How are you? I have your tea here. I have your tea. And she wasn't trying to be lustful. God won't do that. So you don't have to pray and say, Lord, what shall I do? Anytime you are stirred south of the border, it's not God. You got to be like Joseph, run out of certain things because you believe that God wouldn't put that on you. You ladies, never in the counseling tell the man that's counseling you what your husband can't do for you. Even spiritual men are competitive. You tell him, brother so-and-so, I don't know what I'm going to do. My husband, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's sitting there in his mind, he's going, yeah, well, we'll pray and keep it in mind. But in his mind, he's going, if I had you, you wouldn't have that problem. It ain't his business. Lady starts off talking that foolishness to me. I stop her in mid-sentence. Go talk to a mother. I don't want to hear that. Because it's going to make me look at your man differently. We talk too much. And think it's faith. It's not faith. It's foolishness. Paul said, don't even talk about those things which are done in darkness. Why? Because our minds are super susceptible to fleshly things. Don't even confess doubtful things when the enemy brings it up to you. Just don't even say it. Don't say what you're afraid of. Don't say what your greatest fear is. Don't even say it. Keep confessing what God says. By stripes I'm healed. I am more than a conqueror. This too shall pass. This is not what they said it was. Because the moment Satan has you say a thing, you will believe a thing. God help me. Listen, John said, he said, why? Why should I not believe? He said, because there are many false prophets who are gone out into the world. That's why we have the School of Prophetic Development. Number one, to help people learn how to decipher the voice of God from their own mind. And secondly, to teach people so that they can know that when they go to folks to talk, they can talk to them by God and not their own desires. We have too much of that in the black church. People get up in church and they start just going off, you know, and disrupting service and just going off. And then the unskilled and untrained preacher stands there and lets that foolishness continue. And the people are confused because the preacher isn't sure. Well, let me clear everybody up. God is not going to kill you if you stop a person if you're uncertain about their prophetic mantle. It's better to err on the side of caution so that the people are not confused, rather than let somebody continue unendorsed to speak to God's people. And when I'm preaching, I'm the prophet. And God doesn't need to interrupt me with somebody else when he can interrupt me to me. The word of God is what you must believe so that your faith will grow. The word of God is what you must believe so your faith will grow. We have faith in people. And if someone tells you, I'll be over tomorrow at 2:00, you believe they'll be there. Especially if they've never lied to you. But if they blow it and they don't come till 3, the next time they say, I'll be over at 2:00, you have a little bit of anxiety. Well, God can't afford that. Look in John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. We've been studying John 6 in our discipleship class on Wednesdays. But John, chapter 8, verse 43. Watch this. Jesus said to them, verse 42, Jesus said, if God were your father, then you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. And this is a very critical issue. You can't love me and not love my daughter. You can't love a man and not love his wife. You can't love the wife and not love the husband, because they're one. If you have an odd with the husband and the wife, then you have an odd with the spouse. It's not possible to embrace one and not the other. So you can't love me and hate my family. And God is not going to tell you negative stuff about my family when I'm the head. What can you do? Somebody sent me a letter last week to tell me about somebody using witchcraft in church. Yeah, can you believe that? Pointed the person out, not by name, but by description, but sent it anonymously. Now, what kind of foolishness is that? Just because you're angry with somebody, now all of a sudden they're putting witchcraft on the church. Now, if God is really showing you that, why don't you come tell me? Why you got to send me an anonymous letter and then write it in childlike handprint so we can't find out who you are? But do you know I could find out who you are? Because the same God that showed you that the person was doing the witchcraft is going to show me that you wrote the letter. And unlike you, I'm going to get in your face. Because that's a poison. That's like going to the doctor and saying, doctor, I have this, this, this. And when the doctor wants to expose it, you don't want to see what it is. You'd rather not know. Now, if you really cared about Bethel, and you knew by divine word of God that somebody was doing something like that, you would come and sit with me and bring the person. That's how I know it's just a bunch of fleshly foolishness designed to assassinate somebody's character. Come on, when I sit next to so-and-so, I don't feel comfortable. Well, I don't feel comfortable sitting next to somebody from the Klan. Just because you don't feel comfortable, that's supposed to be a spiritual insight. Oh, ooh, I sat next to them and I felt a chill. There are people who say that about me that are saved, Both of us saved. And they're like, I was nervous when I came around you. Why? Maybe you aren't living right. My pastor had a simple philosophy. You can't look me in the eye. He said, then what you going to do with the one who sent me? If you nervous around me, what you going to do with the one that sent me? Tell me what I'm going to praise God. If you can't handle me and I'm nothing, what you going to do with Jesus? That's why, listen, I spend time with the Lord. When I'm done spending my time with the Lord, I ain't giving no man no accolade. I just came out the presence of Almighty God. Everything else is like, you know, window dressing. Oh, I give them their respect. Don't be bowing when I come in the room and all that foolishness. You bow for Jesus. Hallelujah. Where are we? At John 8. Yeah. If Jesus said, if God were your daddy, you would love me, for I proceeded out from him, and I didn't come out by myself, but he sent me. Glory to God. You can't love God and not love Jesus. And you can't love Jesus and not love God. And you can't love God and not love me. So tell your neighbor, stop backbiting about my pastor. Now trust me. Trust me. Listen. 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 I gave you a simple sentence to say, not a paragraph. Listen. Now, I told you, tell your neighbor to stop backbiting about my pastor. Listen to this. You just said it, but I can guarantee you, you said it to somebody who's doing it. And you can tell by their response. If you said it to somebody and they laughed and said it back to you, they ain't doing it. But if you said it and they went, mm-hmm. Or they kept reading their Bible while you said it. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Jesus said, after he talks about the relationship, he goes to verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? And let's give it to you in our language. Why don't you listen to what I say? Every one of us, our parents said that to us. Why are you so hard-headed? Why don't you listen to me? Listen to Jesus. He said, it's because you can't hear my word. Now, wait a minute. They are hearing you. No, they're not. They're hearing what's going on, but they're not listening. See, I can walk in the house and Oprah will be on TV on a commercial, right? But I ain't hearing her. I'm not listening. I'm waiting for the sports thing to come back on. But she's there. When the commercial comes on, you go to the refrigerator and get some water. You don't want to hear that. But you can tell when that whistle blows, they're getting ready to get back into the game. You come back because that's what you want to hear. Well, Jesus is saying, I've been saying so much to you. He said, but the reason why you don't understand what I'm saying is because you can't hear my word. Now, that asks a question. Why is it that I can't hear the word? Verse 44, because you're of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. That's why you can't hear my word. When I went to Montego Bay and they took me over to the hotel, I got out the cab and there were some American people there waiting for a cab. And so as I got out of the cab, they were getting ready to get in my cab. And the driver starts talking to me and we're going back and forth. And the people are waiting to get in the cab. So they come over and they say, are you done? I say, yes, I'm finished. You can have it. And then they say to the cab driver, you know, where they want to go. And he starts speaking to them in that rapid Jamaican. And so they look over like, what's he saying? So I interpreted for them what he was saying. Because having heard that all my life, it wasn't an issue for me. So I could say, oh, he just wants to know someone. They were like, thank you. I said, do you need me to go with you? I charge $100 a sentence. And we laughed about it, but I'm sure they were okay. But you see, Jesus is saying, your father, the devil, has blinded you to the point where you can't understand my speech. Now listen carefully. Jesus gives us a sermon in Matthew's gospel after he meets the devil, defeats the devil in the wilderness, after he's baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he goes out and he preaches this sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. In that sermon, he touches on the principles of heaven. He talks about turning the other cheek, blessing them that curse you. He talks about doing good to those who do evil to you. All right, then he says, find out how the kingdom works after he begins teaching those lessons. And he goes on to teach about the laws of against retaliation. He does all those great things. So now you know what God is saying. If you know what God is saying based on Jesus' speech, then anything contrary to that, is from the devil. From the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus continues to teach more and more about the principles of the kingdom of heaven. And at no time does Jesus say, shut down. At no time does he say, people keep bothering you, just shut down. At no time. He does say, go to them, talk to them, tell them what you feel, get it right. How many of us can sit here today and say, the people that I'm associating with on a regular basis know how I feel about them? Then you're in violation of the scripture if there is a negative feeling. Because the longer you hold it, the more the devil's going to talk to you. And he will always talk to you about saving yourself. He'll tell you, shut down, don't have anything to do with them, stay to yourself, don't bother nobody. Those are contrary to scripture. The Bible says those who are overtaken in a fault, you go to them and restore them. It says if somebody offends you, go to them and alone tell them the offense between you and them alone. He never says, leave them alone, don't have nothing to say to them, because God knows if he's not talking to you, Satan will be. And if Satan is talking to you, then you won't be talking to the person. God never tells you when the service is over, just get out of here. Don't have nothing to say to nobody. Don't trust nobody. Nope. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And you say, oh, well, I'm here. No, but you're not assembling. Let me show you what I mean. Glory. Somebody left keys and something up here on my prop box. It's a San Francisco 49er bottle opener. And oh, those are yours. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, son. I don't have what I want anyway. My box is not properly stocked. But maybe I can do this way. My box isn't properly stocked. I need my box stocked. Now, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? I have a buckle and a latch. They're here. They're there. But that's not what the luggage strap was made for. It wasn't made to lay apart. But it's here. It's a symbol, but it doesn't function. Till I put it together. You think God was telling you, just come to church? You think God was saying, just be there? Because then you're not fulfilling the purpose. Nobody buys a luggage strap so it can stay apart. So why would God save you, make you part of the body, and then tell you when you gather together, stay to yourself, don't talk to nobody, come to church, go through the service, and just walk out and don't connect to anybody? Why do you think he would do that? Thank you, son. Why do you think he would do that? So who do you think would tell you to do that? Try the spirits. Why would the devil tell you to avoid connection? Because people hurt you. Because people don't understand you. Because people lie on you. And so you don't want to give them ammunition. But could it be that they hurt you and don't understand you because they haven't connected? And maybe they haven't connected because you are would it be non-connectable, Adele? Would that be right? Inconnectable? I need the right word, principal. Because you are not able to connect. There you go. See, I went through the Philadelphia school system too. Because you're not able to connect, or maybe unwilling to connect. Well, what happens to faith when it becomes independent? Let me show you what happens to faith when it becomes independent. Go to Numbers 14. Numbers 13. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, and the Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites in the mountains, Canaanites by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 30. Caleb has a level of faith that is victorious, but he's alone. Or with Joshua. He and Joshua are the only ones. Now watch this. It says, but the men that went up with him. Now Moses is very specific. He's talking about the men that went up with him. They did not see what Caleb saw. Why? They weren't connected. They were there. They cannot deny that they were there. They came back with fruit. But they weren't connected to the vision. So there are many people that come to church and you are enjoying the weekly services and pastors preaching a great series on belief and faith and we're just enjoying it. And there are others who watch by broadcast and listen on the radio and they'll call and write and say they're enjoying it. Watch now. But they're not connected to the vision. Because they don't support it. They're enjoying the report, but they're not connected to the vision. Say, how do you know the difference? Watch. In Numbers 13, it says, verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and two people had to carry it. And then they brought out pomegranates and figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol because the cluster of grapes the children of Israel cut down. All right, so verse 26 says, they come back to the wilderness of Paran, and then they get to Moses and the people, and they show them the fruit of the land, and they testify in verse 27, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So everybody connects. Yeah, thanks. Everybody's connected to this. But everybody ain't connected to this. This will determine if you believe this. Many of you will say, Bishop, I believe God. We're going to Zarephath. But this, verse 23 of chapter 13. They cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, bear it upon two with the staff. They brought out pomegranates and figs. The place was called Eshcol. Verse 26, they saw the fruit of the land. Verse 27. They told them that the land flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That's up to 27. Nevertheless, the people be strong in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And we saw the children of Anak, and the Amalekites in the south, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites in the mountains, and Canaanites are by the sea, by the coast of the Jordan. This, This is the Amalekite. This is the Canaanite. This is the Amorite. This is the Jebusite. This represents the obstacle to get there. Now you can shout and dance over that all you want, but you still got to cross those Canaanites. And you still have to deal with those Amorites. And Amorite means negative speech. And so someone or some spirit is going to tell you that you can't afford it, Amorite. Something in your past, Amalekite means your past, and something in your past is going to tell you you can't afford it, Amalekite. Something in your present is going to tell you that if you do it, you're going to lose something, Hittite, because Hittite means fear. And so all of those things are going to come between you and the promised land. But in spite of all of that, there is a Joshua and a Caleb. And they went to that land with you. And they're on the board. And they say, we are more than able. We are qualified. We can do it. Now watch this. Moses isn't talking in Numbers 13. He's off to the side assessing, because his job is not to get them to believe. His job is to see if they can one another. His leadership is tied in to their response. And so you say, I believe God, that's where we're going. You hear two voices.
We are more than able.
With a little bit more enthusiasm, guys, I wouldn't follow y'all to the water fountain. Sit down, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Come here, you in the yellow hat. Come here. You Joshua and Caleb today. We gotta go there.
Yes.
They're saying we can't. What do you say?
We can. Woo. I have faith. We can. We can. We can. Yes, we can. I believe we can. Yes. Yes. We can. Definitely.
Thank you. Understanding. So therefore, these anointed exegetists of the scripture are with me. I trust them with my life. Believe me. And their response was directly in line with me. Directly in line with me. They said, we can do it. But you didn't connect to it. You heard it. You said, okay. They were right. But there are times when faith needs a demonstrative response. So when our sister comes up and dances with it and promotes it, it evokes a response. Their response, yes, we can. Her response, woo. They're both good. But notice this. This tells us that Caleb and Joshua stood like Pastor Aaron and Pastor Martin and said, we can go up. We can do this thing. And the other people were like, child, let me tell you, don't you even think about it. You better listen. Something caused the folks to believe the 10 more than the 2. Now, it couldn't have been just the number. It had to be something else. Next week, we're going to explore if you have contagious faith or faith that has been put in ICU. Is your faith in isolation? And that's why you can't reach anybody else. And that's why you can't motivate another person, because your faith is in isolation. If your faith is contagious or if it's segregated. Because at some point, you ought to be able to win those people who have spoken negatively. Oh, yes. Your faith and your life in God should be so powerful that you can turn folks and they'll say, I was wrong about you. Jesus could do that. You say, wait a minute, how do you know? Because Nicodemus came. And Jesus said, you're a ruler of the Jews, which meant he was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And Jesus turned him. Your faith is designed to change people, not things. People. So stop asking God to change things. Stop praying, Lord, hold back the rain. You pray, God, get me a good umbrella. Amen. Amen. Where is, I thought I saw Elder Chet. You here? Come get my picture when you can and put it back on the wall for me, please. God told me to go get it. He ain't say nothing about putting it back. I could hear my mother. Boy, you don't have a bit of sense. And I would say, well, you raised me. But understand, faith without works is dead. And the greatest act of faith is responding to the call of Jesus. Thank you, Elder. Yes, sir. Responding to his call. Responding to his directive. I know some of you are weary, thinking you've tried, and yet things are not getting any better. That's a sign that you haven't tried the right things. But we have to continue to examine this, because it is critical that you understand faith as a concept from the Word of God and as an application of the kingdom. But it needs works. My God. I wanted to get to the woman with the issue, but the Lord had other plans. One of the greatest examples of working faith. It has all the ingredients. She heard. Faith comes by hearing. She purposed. Faith is connected to purpose. She persevered. Faith never gives up. And she reaches the goal. Faith will always bring you to an end. Faith will never leave you just short. Faith will bring you where it begins to take you. Amen.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05315A.
Parents, summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in the Bethel Deliverance International Church Summer Program, Camp Bethel. Camp Bethel features swimming, karate, barbecues, daily meals and snacks, and trips to places including Hershey Park, Camel Beach, and Ellis Island. Enrollment has begun, so don't delay. Call 215-885-2585 for more information, or visit us online at BethelDeliverance.org.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.